real quick. When it comes to technology, I'm one of those people that are a little bit challenged, and I struggle with it. I had good intentions this morning of making my first attempt to bring the message using my tablet, and of course, I'm getting a little older, and I decided it would be a good idea to stand up here with it ahead of time, and it turns out I can't see it, so here we are. Well, I'm sure by now all of you have recognized that I love to tell stories. And so I'm going to tell a story again this morning about something that happened to us recently. We went to a well-known restaurant where we felt like we should have had good service and good food. It was the kind of place where you would expect that. It should have been just an overall good experience. Well, I want to tell you, that's not what happened. That's not what happened at all. We got there, we put our order in, and we waited. And once we waited for a little while, we waited a little longer, and then a little longer. And at my best guess, it was about 35 minutes. And that was just what I could account for. And a manager came to our table and said that she knew we had been waiting a while, and she apologized, and she assured us that in 8 more minutes, our food would be there. She said that the pork chop that my wife had ordered was really thick, and it was taking a little longer than you know what was expected to cook, and 8 more minutes, we would have our food. So we continued to wait. And I thought about this, and I thought, boy, that's really a questionable statement, you know, that a pork chop would take that long to cook, because I've cooked a few in my lifetime, and I know how long it takes. But nonetheless, so the manager brings us out this complimentary order of bread, because I think she realized that at this point, Leslie and Austin were both chewing on my arm, and maybe she needed to do something to make things a little better. Well, about 8 minutes after the 8 minutes that we were supposed to wait, we get our food. Now, there's something I need you to understand about this. We have come to the conclusion that God is really trying to teach my wife patience. Because every time we go to a restaurant, her order gets all mixed up and confused. And it's been a real struggle for her. But, you know, I could tell you so many stories about things that have happened that you would just probably wouldn't believe it. But anyway, in my mind at this point, you know, even before the manager came out, I knew that whatever the issue was had something to do with what she ordered. I just knew it. It had to. So, anyway, our food comes out, and Leslie gets this pork chop that had been cooking for at least 50 minutes. You know what's worse, though? To top it off, we were sitting there waiting, and there was a group that came in probably, oh, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes after we did, and they still got their food probably 10 minutes before we did. You know how frustrating that can be. I know everybody's probably been in that situation, but there we were. So, like I said, the food comes out, and Leslie cuts into this pork chop. And this is the pork chop again that we had waited for 50 minutes. And it looked like a rare steak in the center. Now, I didn't touch it, but I'm guessing if I had, it would have been cold in the middle. This was enough to make us say, you know what, I'm not really sure we want to come back to this restaurant. You know, it's kind of a mixed up deal, and this just isn't a good experience. But luckily for me, when it came to this particular restaurant, I am now in the experienced category. And I ordered a full rack of ribs. because it's a rib place, and I knew that that's what I needed to get. So I was able to share, and needless to say, we made it work. It all came together, and we had plenty of food. But I know you're probably asking the question, why am I telling you another story about food? But I promise you I'm going to get there. I just have to finish telling you what happened. When the manager came out to give us this bread that I told you about earlier, she told us that she was going to take 10% off of our bill. And not only that, she was going to give us a coupon for 10% off of our next visit. And we said, okay, that's fine. And we continued to wait. And then, like I said, we got our food, and Leslie's pork chop was rare. And she obviously told the waitress about the issue. And the waitress, she sort of scrambled for the words to say to try and fix the situation. And Leslie just kind of stopped her and said, there's really no need to take any further action. I'm just going to eat what I have here, and we'll just forget this even happened. So the waitress took off with this rare pork chop, and she comes back in a few minutes, and she says, we've decided that we're going to take this off of your bill because we don't want you to pay for something that you're not satisfied with. And the way she said it, it kind of made it sound like Leslie was just being a little picky about her food. And that sort of got under our skin a little bit too. But all in all, they made a somewhat half-hearted attempt to repair the damage done. The bill was very small for what we ordered, and in the end, this was one of those experiences that made us say, we probably don't want to visit again. It's not what we expected. We weren't satisfied with the end result. And so we probably won't go back. I think this whole thing was frustrating to me because we had a busy day and we didn't feel like cooking. And in our minds, we thought we would go out and have a nice dinner and have some family time and just take a minute to take a breath and unwind and just talk a little bit and have a good time. But instead, we left frustrated. Yeah. Now, I know we all have expectations, right? Well,
correct.
Your expectations might be different than mine or different than those of other people, but I've found that in my life that I'm one of those people that is never going to be satisfied with the status quo. I feel like that I am always looking for how I'm going to improve and what I can do to make things better. Well, I have to tell you that the past few weeks for me have been a very trying time for various reasons. But God used this situation at the restaurant to kind of put things into perspective for me. First things first, does anybody enjoy horrible service at a restaurant and rare pork chops? Good, because I'm going to make some comparisons here that wouldn't make any sense to you if that's what you enjoyed. So I'm glad that no one enjoys that. I do have to say that I really enjoy the way God takes the strange things that we go through on a daily basis, and He uses those to give us direction. I've been going about my business this week with this restaurant experience fresh in my mind, and along with some other things that have been going on here in the church. Now, I don't know how many of you know this, but I know Amy alluded to it a little bit earlier, but things have been a little thin in Awana here recently, especially when it comes to help. And over the past 3 weeks, I've had various conversations with her as our Awana commander, but I just have to say that I think she is doing a wonderful job working with what she's been given. In these conversations, I've been able to hear her frustrations, hear her goals, and really begin to have a better understanding of her vision for the Awana program. And in the past few months, I've been able to kind of roam around the church and see everything that's really going on and how things are functioning. And I've seen a lot of good things happen. But on the flip side, I've seen a lot of things that I've been burdened by. Today, I want to talk a little bit about those things. As Amy said earlier, we only have 3 weeks of Awana remaining this year, so our focus is going to have to be on next year to improve. Well, somewhere between Awana this past Wednesday evening and Thursday, God kind of brought all this stuff together for me, and he said this to me. He said, as a church, I need you to realize that you've been serving rare pork chops. You've been putting out an inferior effort. And you haven't been doing things to the best of your ability as a church. And then you're wondering why people don't return. You know what bothers me the most about that? Most seem to be okay with an inferior effort. You know what that's called? Apathy. To just not care. You know, apathy starts with excuses because you're comfortable where you are. Then it progresses and the excuses get weaker until you just don't care. It doesn't matter to you anymore. You forget your beginning. And you forget that every one of us have had people in our lives that have brought us to where we are. I have to tell you, it melted my heart when my wife told me that she had a young lady who was at the point of tears last Wednesday at closing ceremony for Awana. This young lady was upset because she needed to memorize one more scripture to stay on target to finish her book by the end of the year. And she was upset because she needed help and everybody was busy. We have so many kids that would thrive if they had someone to connect with. Someone to help them as they begin to memorize scripture. Someone to work through that stuff with them, to give them one-on-one attention. James 4:17 says this, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Here's what I'm certain of. I'm certain that our Awana commander is on the verge of being ready to give up if help doesn't arrive soon. And I'll be honest with you, I don't blame her. You know, when I say help, I don't mean a body to fill the spot. I'm talking about people coming because they want to serve God and they see Him working in this ministry because they care. Is this really how we want to treat our leadership? Basically just hang them out to dry, put them in a position, and allow them to be overwhelmed to the point that they want to give up? All because we want to be comfortable where we are and ignore what God expects? So we're not inconvenienced by the needs of children? I have to tell you, I am truly burdened by this. This is something that has been happening over and over again in our church. And it has to change. You know, I've heard people say over and over again, well, I'm just not good with kids. I want you to know that you don't have to be parent of the year to work with children. You just have to have a little love in your heart. If you can love, you can work with kids in our Awana program. The other thing I've been hearing is, well, I've served my time, and I think it's time that somebody else will do it. Do you realize how ridiculous that sounds? That sounds completely ridiculous. If you have that kind of attitude, I have to ask, what are you here for? If you've served your time, why hasn't God called you home? I didn't know we got to retire from serving God. I understand that as we get older, we can't do the things that we once did. I understand that physically our bodies change and things get hard for us. And that's not what I'm talking about. I understand that some folks aren't gifted teachers. But by now you ought to understand how to love. Certainly you understand what it's like to need Christ. What it's like to need attention. Let me illustrate with a story from the Experiencing God workbook. And maybe a lot of you have heard this story, but this is entitled, Iva Bates Was a Knee. Iva Bates, a retired widow, she was one of the greatest prayers I have ever known. Our church was the body of Christ, and we called Iva a knee. God put her in the body as a powerful prayer. When we had new believers in our church, Iva taught them how to pray. She equipped many in our church to grow in their prayer lives. When we began our ministry to the university campus, Iva didn't know how to reach college students. Our campus minister shared with Iva how she could intercede for the campus. She didn't change her role in the body, but learned how to be the knee, the prayer for the campus. The students were told, whenever you're going to witness to somebody or you have a particular assignment in our college ministry, tell Iva about it and she will pray. A student named Wayne said to Iva, next Tuesday I'll witness to Doug. Would you pray for me? Iva prayed through the noon hour while Wayne was witnessing. She did that every time a student told her what they were doing. The hand, Wayne, was touching the campus, but the whole body was fitly joined together to participate in that particular ministry. Each member functioned where God put it so the hand could be effective. About 3 months later, a young man came down the aisle of our church during an altar call and placed his trust in the Lord for salvation. I said to the congregation, "This is Doug. He has become a Christian." I looked at Iva, who was deeply moved and weeping. She had never met Doug, but she had prayed for him for 3 months. Who won Doug to the Lord? The body did. You know, I looked at several studies and they were difficult to find, but I looked at several studies about the age when people were most likely to give their life to Christ, and I want to share what I found. The data for Nazarene Church Growth Research said that 85% of American Christians say they accepted Christ between the ages of 4 and 14. 85%. Another survey by the International Bible Society lists that number at 83%. The Barna Research Group says that surveys they've done indicate that American children ages 5 to 13 have a 32% probability of accepting Christ. And then when you move to the 14 to 18 age group, that number declines to 4%. Adults 19 and over have a 6% probability of accepting Christ. 5 to 13, a 32% probability of accepting Christ. Those numbers are staggering to me. We can't have a somewhat half-hearted ministry aimed at this group. I really need you to listen to me here. If we let our ministry to this age group fail, we might as well close the doors. Children and youth ministry should be one of our biggest and most supported efforts. And right now it's not. This has to change, and it needs to start now. We have to be in this together. Scripture says that we should be working as a unit, together for God to accomplish His goals. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and flip there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, and we'll read through verse 14. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by the Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. You know, I don't believe it's an accident or a coincidence that this group of people have been placed here at this church at this given time. We've been put here to be His living body, to carry the message of Christ to this community. You know, 1 Corinthians 12, 18 and 19 says this: but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. He put us all here together because we all have different gifts, different things that make us special. We've all been given spiritual gifts. When we come together, we form the functioning body where everyone has a place, and together we make God's will happen as we're obedient to Him. Let me say it this way. Let's say in my garage, I have a transmission for a race car. And right next to that transmission, I have the race car that it belongs in. Now that transmission is the best transmission that exists. It's top of the line, as good as it gets. The race car is the same. I would challenge anyone to go jump on that transmission and ride it to the store. Or jump in that car and try and drive it to the store. The only way that transmission's making it to the store is if you pick it up and carry it. The only way that car's making it to the store is if you push it or pull it. But I'll guarantee you, in the process of that, you're going to wear yourself out. That's what's happening in some of our ministries. We got people carrying stuff and they're wearing out. You know, maybe you're the person that's saying, well, I'll pray about helping with Awana. I want to tell you straightforward, there's no need for that. You don't need to pray about it. How can I say that? Because God has called this church to do children's ministries. All you have to do is change your attitude and jump in where God's already working. If you're able-bodied and available, the only thing standing in your way is a poor excuse. I'll say that again. If you're able-bodied and available, the only thing standing in your way is a poor excuse. You know, I'm real sorry if that offends you. I'm not here to offend you. You know, I'll accept Mary's challenge right now, and I'll tell each and every one of you that I love you. But I love you enough to tell you the truth. You have an opportunity to change someone's life. Don't waste it. God calls us all to love. Do we want to have healthy, effective ministries? I think the bigger question is, do we want to do what it takes to have those ministries? I believe that God's been showing me that we're at a crossroad. How do we want to move forward? Will it be with obedience? Or will it be telling God that we have better things to do, that we would rather stay where it's comfortable? I want you to know that we're considering changes this coming year for Awana. We're considering some things that will make it easier for each and every one of you to serve in some fashion or another. You know, I recognize that there are some folks that are still growing and they need some of the other teaching that's going on at that time. And I think that's awesome too. And I'm all about that. But I ask that you be in prayer for the changes that we're considering. And be in prayer for unity for this body. Will you all stand with me? I ask that you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a minute. I want you to understand that you're making a choice today, whether you want to or not. If you choose to ignore God's message, that's a choice. You can also choose to be changed by it. It's up to you. Maybe today you're able to say, God, I've been holding back for this reason or that reason, but I want it to end today. I know that God is speaking to people this morning. He wouldn't have given me this message if He wasn't going to speak to people. Maybe today you're saying, I haven't given my life to Christ. I haven't trusted Christ for salvation. But you feel Him tugging on your heart this morning. If that's you, I want you to know that Jesus loves you and He died for you. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and that sin separates us from God. And the penalty for sin is death. But Jesus died to pay the penalty for your sins and mine. And 3 days later, He rose from the grave, conquering death. The Bible says that if you believe that with all of your heart, confess it with your mouth, you will be saved. Saved from what? Hell and eternal separation from God. Today is the day that you can take care of that. You can leave here today and know without question that you're heaven bound. In just a minute, I'm going to pray, and when I do, this altar is going to be open to you. Maybe today you know that you want to serve somewhere, but you don't know where you fit in. Come on up and we'll pray about it. We'll talk about it. We'll meet later. Figure it out for you. Maybe you're not a member and you want to be. Let's pray about it. Maybe you just want to praise God for something that He's done in your life. Whatever your reason, this altar is going to be open to you. Father, today, we come to You and we thank You for who You are. We thank You because You have a plan for this body of believers. We ask that You would help us to see that not a single soul is insignificant in Your eyes. Father, we pray that today You would inspire that you would convict where necessary, Lord. We pray that your will would be done. Father, this time of invitation is yours to use as you see fit. It's in Jesus' name we come to you. Amen. Again, this altar is open to you. If you have business with God, whatever it might be, today's the day to get it taken care of.